for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out.
And on today's show, we talk about Epic Samurai.
Yes, we do. You mean Cosmic Ninja?
Yeah, I do, Steph, and I had to rewrite that after the first joke you wrote was terrible, and it wasn't very good, this one, either.
It wasn't, no. In the studio, we've got the band of that name, plus My Five, Just Like Us podcast.
Plus news, views, and a few tracks dropped in.
I'm Steffi Barnett.
And I'm Lucy Potter, and this is Shout Out.
See, no one here to doobie-doo. You didn't even doobie-doo either.
Do you know what? Even if he was here to doobie-doo, it would be like doobie-doobie-doo because yes. He ain't got no voice.
Bless him.
After sitting in that chair for 9 hours...
He did insist.
...on Pride Day, yes. Andy Shilton has no voice.
Yes. Whoopee! Did I really say that?
Do we have any sympathy? No.
No,
because
really.
We couldn't shift him out of that seat.
We couldn't get him out of the chair.
Yeah. And now... Silence.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Get well soon, Andy. Well, yeah. Not too soon.
But a very good day on last Saturday. All enjoyed, I think, and generally a pretty successful Pride and another busy one.
It was absolutely cracking. That was some of the best interviews I think we've had in a Pride. My favourite interview that I'd ever done before was Heather Small. But
yes.
Now she's tying with Alexandra Burke.
Oh, yeah, I've got to say, Alexandra was my favourite of the day.
Yes, absolutely.
Got to say that. But Lloyd Daniels as well, he was mine too.
He was lovely.
Yeah,
he was very sweet.
He is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hung around backstage to talk to everyone, and that was very nice too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And talking of Pride, Ivan, you interviewed Asher.
Oh, yes, Asher Craig. Yeah, Deputy Mayor. She was at the front of the Pride Parade.
She was. She was leading it with the Mayor.
Yeah, with the Mayor and the Lord Mayor as well. Because, of course, we've got two mayors in our city
as
well.
They were all there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We do have another Deputy Mayor, by the way, but he wasn't there, Craig Cheney. So it gets very confusing. If you're not from Bristol and you're not keeping up with the mayors, don't worry about it. But, yeah, I had a chat with Asher and, we've got something, a little segment from her now, haven't we?
I must apologise for the quality. It's a bit crackly, but what she has to say is really important. This is this week's My Five.
The Outshout My Five on Shout Out Radio.
You've been listening.
Joining us now is Deputy Mayor of Bristol, Asher Craig. Hello,
hey.
Asher.
What's up?
It's all up, isn't it? It's all going on.
It's all happening. It's absolutely amazing. I've actually popped my cherry today.
your pride cherry.
Is it your pride? Yes. Since I became a councillor, the last two prides, I've been on holiday. But this year, I was determined not to mess that up. And I'm here. And I'm also, a couple of months ago, I also proudly agreed to be an ally for the LGBT community, plus community, both the staff within the local authority and the wider community.
Well, you've been very busy already. Last night you were already, were you chairing or co-chairing?
Well, I was hosting, yes. So I'm really, really proud that we were able to, I suppose, host the first inaugural UK Black Pride event in Bristol. Really, really well attended. We had Kiki and we had...
Yeah. We had
all
the show,
people that were there, but yes, it's absolutely amazing. And as I explained yesterday, I myself am on a journey. So, you know, I don't pretend that I'm any kind of expert. So I just need the wider community, to kind of support me and help me on that journey.
Exactly. I beg your pardon. There's a lot of people listening at home that, you know, they hear the words LGBT or LGBT plus, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, gender, and the plus stands for a whole host of people on a spectrum of all sorts of gender identities and sexualities. And it is tough, especially for people who aren't of the current generation to understand. And the generation that are coming in now are a lot more free thinking than perhaps you or I may have been growing up.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I think one of the things that I said last night, you know, because I am a Rastafarian, so that comes with, and in our culture and community, it comes with its own prejudices. But, you know, I definitely transcend all of that, you know. At the end of the day, we fought too hard around the issue of equality, whether it's race, whether it's LGBT, and even the transgender debate that is taking a very hateful turn at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's in London.
But I am proud to represent a city that respects people regardless of who they are, what they represent. Be loud, be proud.
Well,
you are.
Definitely stuck your neck out, Asha, because you were right there at the front of the parade.
I loved it. I loved every single moment. It was absolutely brilliant. I even had a chance to run underneath the flag. You know, there was me, Marvin, even the police commissioner, Sue Mount Stevens. We're all in the spirit of things, and again, I think it was also very much important for all of us as leaders in the city to kind of lead that parade and show quite clearly to everybody in Bristol that we are right behind the wider LGBT plus community, and we'll do what we can to support you.
And Asha, what would you say to young LGBT plus people of colour who might be listening? I mean, you know, you can kind of look over your shoulder. There's a pretty mixed crowd out there, but it could be more mixed.
I think the reality is, and that what's really interesting, because I was saying to somebody earlier on that, you know, there are a few black people that I have seen here, and I feel like, you know, this is the only one day in the year that they feel confident enough to kind of come out of the shadows, because that's what a lot of people, both black and white, are under the shadows and don't feel confident enough because of the prejudices that exist within our community. So all I can do, particularly as an ally, as well as supporting the LGBT plus community, is I'm going to make it my duty to kind of go out and talk to the wider community, and they need to understand we have to be accepting of difference. You know, I am proud of the fact that Bristol is a city of diversity. We talk about 91 languages, we talk about 187 countries of birth, we talk about 45 faiths, but we also need to talk about the fact that we're also a city that has a great LGBT plus community, and we need to celebrate that, and we need to support each other. So we need to ensure that there are supportive environments for particularly young black people, and young people generally, you know, that they feel confident enough that they can kind of stand tall and stand proud and say, yes, this is who I am, respect me.
Superb words, Asha Craig, our deputy mayor down here at Bristol Pride.
Once again, really sorry about the quality of that one.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, written in the stars, it certainly is.
That was good. And here in the studio today, we have with us, we have Tamsin, who is the lead vocalist for Cosmic Ninja. She's coming to talk about, the band and also their upcoming single. And we're going to listen to a bit of their music. So, Tamsin, welcome. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Enjoyed Pride on Saturday.
You were there too, were
yes,
you?
Yes, I was. I loved it.
Did you march?
Of course, yes.
And who did you march with anyone in particular?
I did. I marched with the famous Kiki.
Yes, they were there at the start. They were there at the front, weren't they?
They were helping
lead it. Yeah, no, that was really good. Excellent. Well, so why don't we start with the band? How you came together? Have you known each other a while? What's been your background and your journey so far?
So we got together 3 years ago. We all wanted to do something slightly different. So we've kind of been blending rock music with electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
And come out of that has been sort of a mashup of synth, pop, rock, electronic.
That's quite a varied scene.
Yes, definitely.
So is that just purely because you all liked those things together, or did different people like one particular thing in the band and nobody could work out who was the who was the boss?
I think we've just taken the best bits of the music that we love, and mm-hmm. we've tried to take all those parts and create music that emphasizes those parts that we enjoy the most.
And were you playing instruments? Were you playing in other bands separately? I mean, how did you?
Yeah, I think we'd all been in bands before that had naturally kind of filtered out.
They do run their course sometimes,
yeah,
don't they?
And I think we all just wanted something a bit different. So we found each other on Gumtree, actually, of all places.
No way. And there was me just thinking that's where you got like cheap chest of drawers and stuff. Like,
we get all sorts.
Yeah. Okay.
Careful what you
said. Let's not go with this. It's well before the watershed, so we won't go down there. But okay, awesome. All right, so you found each other on Gumtree and just said, let's do this.
Yeah. That's quite novel. I like that idea.
No, that's good.
Bands getting together on Gumtree.
I mean, we don't have a really cool story. I mean, there should have been a cooler story than that, I'm sure. But
I like it.
I think that was cool.
Yeah.
That was.
There's got to be a cool story behind the name of the band, though.
Cosmic Ninja.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint, guys, but we literally just shoved a load of words on a paper and thought, which ones
work?
Which ones stick?
Which ones pass the Google test, I think?
Yeah,
because you've always got to check how Googleable they are and where that might come up.
Yeah, I think the Ninja is kind of the rock side of things, and kind of obviously we like our new metal and our metal and things like that, but then the Cosmics, they're kind of the electronic trance side of things. You put them two together and you've got Cosmic Ninja.
Epic. And so your live shows, what kind of shows have you been playing around the houses, around the bazaars?
So we had the privilege of playing the O2 Academy in March last year, which was incredible.
That is.
We're playing Godney Gathering this weekend.
Brilliant.
It's a sold out festival, and showing the stages of likes of Feeder and such like people. So that's going to be amazing. We've been very fortunate, and we've been received really well actually in the Glastonbury area. So they've had us back a lot, and we've got Cheltenham gig tomorrow, the Cotswold Inn. So
that's good.
Pretty busy.
Glastonbury FM take us later tonight at 9 p.m.
Yes, they do. So, and the rest of the band are actually currently on, I think, at the moment.
On Glastonbury FM.
Yeah, really.
Right. So we're taking over,
hitting everything. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
We're taking over.
Watch out, Southwest. Here you come.
Can you tell us about the BBC?
In terms of
how they picked you up.
Oh, what, the BBC introducing?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. So BBC introducing, we just uploaded a track to them and they really liked it, and they've played Judgment Day, which you're going to be playing tonight.
Yes,
so,
that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a live version.
Yeah, the live version of that, yeah.
Mm. Okay, so it's actually, I sort of hopped on the website beforehand, and it says that you are aimed to blend the dance floor with the mosh pit.
That's true.
And that's the kind of ethos. So if we were going to go to a live gig, like what kind of scene could we expect? What's the energy levels like, and what are the crowd like?
Yeah, the energy's high, man. It's pumping, and it's quite high BPM. So you're looking at 150 BPM to 175 BPM.
Wow.
We like to party hard on stage. We've got lots of lights. I built a light instrument from scratch, and it's kind of a synth instrument which you hit and it lights up. And we've got our own light digital light show that we've programmed, and we've got light up glasses, light up shoes. It's an LED kind of craze on
total
stage.
Assault on the senses.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Like,
come and have some fun, man.
Brilliant.
So it's like a Cosmic Ninja son et lumière, then.
Yeah.
with a very fast beat. You don't get that at the pyramids, do you?
No, definitely not.
Right. I mean, when you listen to Judgment Day in a minute, you'll find when it starts off, you think, oh, this is going to be one genre. But then it just changes and goes in. But it works. Who come up with that idea about mixing the different genres? Because it gets a bit punky at times, doesn't it?
Yeah, again, I think it's just all of our influences coming in. We write together, we bounce tracks down, send them across email to each other, and we all put our influences in and put our stamp on it, and that's how we kind of write.
Is that all three of you involved?
Yeah, it is. And we don't stick to one kind of way of doing it. We just go with what feels good. Judgment Day was one of those first tracks that we did and we were really proud of. It's kind of got the drum and bass vibe to it. Pendulum influences in there, definitely.
Good Bristol influences then.
Yeah.
Drum and bass, fantastic.
Where'd you get your ideas for the tracks? So we asked that question to nearly every act that we interviewed at Pride, and there were some weird answers. I mean, a couple of Prides ago, I had somebody who said that they get most of their inspiration from Lead in the Bath with Candles, and the other one actually sat on the loo.
Like, it can come anywhere, literally. Like, yeah, it, I guess sometimes when I like to listen to a lot of live music and watch a lot of live music, and a lot of my inspiration comes from that, and it's watching new bands and going, oh my god, that's so cool, and then thinking about ways of making that kind of new and relevant to us, and just kind of exploring what other people are doing and what makes you feel good at the time at the end of the day.
So on the road, when you're playing the live shows, are there any particular bands that you like to see or think you could team up with? They've got a kind of similar sort of vibe to you.
So that's where it gets pretty tricky for us, because we are kind of niche in that sense. So we do play a lot with a band called UKID.
Okay.
They're a drum and bass live act.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy called Madcap, and they're kind of live hip hop.
Okay.
And then Sir aren't particularly like us, but they're two female kind of front women that rock it out, and they're awesome, and they're doing really, really well.
They sound good.
Yeah.
And what's the fan base like? I mean, have you got you've got that passionate base who are following you? What are they like on social media? What's the scene there?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we're growing. We're a new band, so mm-hmm. we've got some way to go there. But there's definitely people that come to our shows and are really kind to us on social media. But when you come, you'll see it's going to be. It's going to be a good dance floor, and people are having a good time.
Sounds awesome.
Now, you've got some really good news, haven't you, in your personal life?
Yeah.
Go on.
So I asked my girlfriend of 10 years to marry me.
Woo! And, yes. Oh, sorry, did she say yes?
No, yes.
Hey, fantastic.
Well, does she have a name? Does she have a name? Are you going to name her?
Keziah McCarthy.
Oh, there you go, Keziah. Congratulations to both of you. How wonderful. Yeah. Have you set a date yet?
No, we need to do other stuff like buy house and things before we start spending money on
just those
weddings.
Minor things like buying a house. Just
little real life, real life stuff.
Yeah.
And there's also some other good news. You've got something happening tomorrow as well.
We do. So we've been working hard and writing new music, and we recorded some new music in a studio in Bridgend. And this track, Yeah Right, is going to be released tomorrow. It was produced by Jace Lewis, a fantastic producer and also musician, and we're very, very proud of it, and looking forward to showing it to the masses tomorrow.
Excellent. And I think Steph might be hopefully trying to run that on your other show tomorrow.
Yes,
if we can get that to
unfortunately
work.
We haven't got that track for tonight, but I'll be playing it on the drive show tomorrow on BCFM.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Well, so if people want to find out more about Cosmic Ninja and any upcoming dates and all that kind of stuff, where can they go to kind of get that detail?
So most of our kind of Facebook tags and things like that is Cosmic Ninja Band.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a website, www.cosmicninja.co.uk.
Okay.
But your best bet's to come to Facebook, Cosmic Ninja Band.
All right, brilliant. Okay, well, so I think what we're going to do now is we're going to segue into the song.
Yes.
But before then, Tamsin, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. By all means, we'd love to have you back maybe in a couple of years when you've hit superstardom and, you know, we
they
can
already
find
have.
Well, when you've hit even more superstardom, and you can update us on how you're getting on with everything. But until then, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, that ended suddenly.
That did end suddenly, but you know what? That was like head banging stuff.
Yeah,
I loved it. That
was a live track.
It was
very high energy. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
I need to put my cans on.
It would help. We're getting more head banging stuff now.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Was that ended suddenly, or has it come back again?
I just think it took you by surprise.
Yeah, it did end suddenly, didn't it? And then come back.
Yeah,
maybe that was a trap for presenters.
Yeah, so everybody claps, you know.
Well, it was the background mosh pit music that we play when we're not on the air. Yeah. And we got a bit caught out there.
It's all good. Anyway. All good, though. Loved it. And we'll be playing their brand spanking new track. You're going to be playing on the drive show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yes.
So we've got some news now with Ivan.
Yes, we have.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 19th of July. The antics of forum users at Mumsnet, a strident web forum, which for a while was overrun with transphobic radical feminists, has been reported on in the past. After an internal review, many of the deeply inaccurate and hate-mongering posts against the trans community were removed. But problems remain. There has been criticism amongst gay male writers that the forum's anti-paedophilia articles are a smokescreen for generalised homophobia. Now, there are more issues over what should be a happy occasion, the birth of baby Robbie, to gay Olympian hero Tom Daley and his husband, Lance. Irrational and some would say hysterical accusations of the pair committing child abuse by wanting to have a baby with a surrogate were plastered over the website's forums. Although, in fairness to the Mumsnet moderators, more than 1,000 pieces of homophobic trolling were deleted by last weekend. LGBT activists have encouraged gay and trans people and allies to ensure they post their support for Tom and Lance to whatever websites they are members of to get the message across that same-sex parents are good parents. Now, if you're in the northeast of England, and particularly around the Newcastle area, then you may have noticed a new sound on your radio dial. We're delighted to report that the northeast gay, bi, pan and trans station Pride Radio has now started full FM broadcasts. The opening day was last Monday and is the culmination of 10 years of hard work since the service first appeared as an internet-only operation. Presenters include Peter Darrant, formerly from Made TV Network, and several recruited from the northeast long-standing pop music service Metro Radio. We wish our colleagues at Pride Radio all the very best for their new service. In Scotland, the country's largest Pride event in Glasgow took place on Saturday the 14th of July. The coverage of the event was led by the city's biggest commercial radio station, Radio Clyde. One lucky listener won a series of prizes, which included accommodation for the Pride weekend at a top hotel, a bar tab worth £100, and a family ticket to the Glasgow Science Centre. An LGBT and women's movement that has sadly become fractured in recent weeks over the transgender politics issue experienced a unifying boost last week thanks to the visit of Donald Trump. In London, LGBT groups that rarely work together came together under the auspices of the Stonewall banner. In addition, there was a women's block of protests raising concerns over Mr. Trump's misogyny. These met and rendezvoused with a drag contingent of protesters, the traditional feminist objection to drag queens being put aside as campaigners united. Other communities also experienced a unifying effect of the Trump visit. The Jewish Chronicle reported that groups that are usually implacably split over the Israel-Palestine conflict came together under a single banner. Male circumcision is an issue which divides some groups in the queer communities. For LGBT Muslim and Jewish organisations, the issue is one of religious freedom. But an increasing number of secular and gay male activists are coming to regard the practice as a barbaric relic of Bronze Age religions, and that is a cruel mutilation of baby boys. Now, the National Secular Society, which campaigns against religious privilege, is assisting the police in appealing for information on a man called Mohammed Siddiqui, who was arrested 2 weeks ago and is suspected of causing harm to boys in botched religious circumcisions in both Banbury and Bristol. Detectives have called for any parents or guardians of boys circumcised or healthcare workers who have concerns about procedures or aftercare to come forward. Visit our website for a link to the National Secular Society and to Hampshire Constabulary's investigation. And finally, Jim and Gwyn from the gay men's mail order bookstore Male Image have been in touch. Sadly, they have decided to retire their book business after more than 30 years of serving the gay and bisexual men's community with fiction, historical and political books. They say that in an internet age, gay men's fiction has migrated online, and with the collapse of the Bruno Gmunder publishing house in Germany, the traditional stock of gay calendars will be limited next year. As a result, they've decided to concentrate their efforts on the other side of their business, selling underwear and light fetish gear. If you're looking for a quality supplier of queer books now that Male Image is closing, visit our website for some links of interest, and don't forget to look out for LGBT literature in your local alternative bookstores, such as Gothic Image or Speaking Tree in Glastonbury and Hydra and Dreadnought in Bristol. For these new stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Daft Punk, Pharrell Williams, and of course that beat is got to be Nile Rodgers involved in that one. Get lucky. As usual, for the third Thursday of the month, we have Just Like Us, our youth group that go into schools and colleges. This is their week's podcast.
Just Like Us, for LGBT young people.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Just Like Us podcast. I'm Nora.
And I'm Matthew.
And today we're going to be talking about Pride.
There's a lot to talk about with Pride because it's such a big event in the LGBT calendar. We're going to discuss a few things like, do we like Pride? Do we dislike Pride? What's Pride's function? And really importantly, how you might be able to stay safe and have a great time at Pride.
Pride started in the 1970s as a protest against police violence at the Stonewall Inn in New York. Most of the key figures at Stonewall were trans women of color, who are also sex workers. Pride nowadays looks like a big celebration, but it's important to remember how it started.
And whilst remembering how it started, as you said, so it's a celebration as well. And for a community that's supposed to be very non-binary about our attitude towards things, the way that we look at Pride can be really binary. Either it is a party or it's a protest, but actually it can be both. So whether that means that you're having a great time with your friends on the dance floor or waving a rainbow flag and shouting about current LGBT issues, both of those are equally acceptable ways to celebrate Pride, but you've got to make sure that everyone's allowed to respond to the event how they want to.
Even if there's a specific mainstream view about how Pride is or who attends it, it's an event for a very diverse crowd, and that needs to be respected.
And speaking of that diverse crowd, we're now going to hear from some of the other Just Like Us ambassadors on their experiences of Pride.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Can you just introduce yourself, say who you are, who you're with?
Hi, I'm Ellen, and I work for the University of Bristol.
Attending Pride this year?
Because my friends came normally while I was marching with the society.
So that's Pride Day. Well, I'm at work, but also fun. If I wasn't at work, I would be here anyway. I absolutely love Bristol Pride, so I've been working on it. I just started this job a few weeks ago, and my first task was, can you organise Pride? And I was like, absolutely.
What is your favourite memory of being at Pride, from, as long as you can remember?
Taking my mum to Leeds Pride last year.
Oh,
my
brilliant.
Memory. She got a bit tipsy too quick, but it helped her embrace the moment. And we had a really lovely time, and it was so lovely sharing kind of my world with her.
I was in a group, I was actually with you.
Yes, she was. It was fun.
Yeah,
we met Tom Daly.
Yeah, I was going to talk about...
Sorry, carry on.
Well, I was just going to say that I met Tom Daly.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So we're just going to have a chat now about our own experiences of Pride. And can you just tell me, Nero, like, what was the first time that you attended a Pride?
I was about 15 and I went with a few of my non-LGBT friends. And it was a good time and I really enjoyed myself, but it was a lot more quiet and subdued and calm than I feel like it would be if I went now.
And if you could give your younger self any advice about going to Pride for the first time, what would that be?
I think it would be just to go in with an open mind and enjoy it how you want to. So if you just want to have a quiet Pride where you're not hugely out and loud, that's totally fine. But if you do want to have a great time and go to a party after, that's great. How about you? What would you say to your younger self at Pride?
I would tell my younger self not to drink so much. Historically, for me, Pride events have been quite alcohol-related, which I think is a very common experience. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, I think that you're going to be in an environment where people are drinking, people are smoking, where there's lots of loud music. And actually, if you want to just sit by the side and just observe for a while, that's okay as well. You don't have to be partying all of the time, which is what I think I thought I had to do when I first went. And are there any tips that you'd give young people today to be safe at Pride?
There's a lot that we can talk on. It's not that it's a dangerous experience or anything like that. It's just that because it's going to be busy, like, you just need to be aware of your surroundings and your friends. Like, if your friend doesn't look too hot, suggest maybe going to find a McDonald's and getting some drinks or something like that.
And make sure your phone is fully charged. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your friends are with you at all times. And I'd say that that you've got a meeting point. If somebody's lost, if you can't find them for more than half an hour, then you go to that particular tent or that particular stall. And yeah, having a bottle of water, having a sun cap. And also make sure that you're creating enough space for other people to enjoy Pride how they want to. Mm-hmm. So your idea of having a great time on the dance floor might actually be making somebody else feel quite uncomfortable.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So I'm just wondering, because it's quite a hot topic at the moment, do you have any opinions on who Pride is for?
So I think at the base of it, Pride is for the LGBT plus community, but that's definitely not to say that allies aren't welcome.
Yeah, I love being able to bring my straight allies and friends to Pride, but I do expect them to behave in a certain way. This isn't a hen party, you know, this is very much for the community of people that I belong to. And if they did anything that I thought was disrespectful or, you know, used terminology I thought was outdated or offensive, I would call them up on it and say, this is not a space for that. Whatever your opinion on, say, straight allies attending Pride is, you know, you don't actually know just from looking at somebody what they might be or how they might identify, because it might be that you think you're looking at a cis heterosexual couple, but you're actually looking at a trans couple. And so I think making sure there's space for everyone and being welcoming, because ultimately we're all uniting on this one day under this same rainbow umbrella to fight for the same cause or to party for the same cause.
Yeah, as a bisexual person, I'm now in a relationship with a woman, but if in the future I'm in a relationship with a man, I'd still love to go to Pride, and I wouldn't want that to change just because somebody thinks I'm straight. Like, you just need to be aware of the different identities that will be there and what people want to get from Pride, and just check yourself accordingly so that you're being as polite and kind as you can.
Mm. However you choose to celebrate your Pride season, we hope you have the most amazing time. And remember that there are always stewards and security members of staff available if you really need help.
Stay safe and have a great time. Best of luck and enjoy Pride.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The show was hosted by Matthew and Noura, produced by Samantha and Rosie, and edited by Daniel Cloder. The music was by Twisterion. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers, and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Well, what's been happening? You've just come. You just found something on the news.
I have. Yeah, we've got a little bit of time before the end of the show, and something's caught my eye on the news front. And I don't know about you two, but one of my entertainment heroes of my youth was Dame Edna Everidge.
Because, oh, possums! That's my shit impression.
Possums,
oh, rubbish,
yeah,
impression.
A bit of gladioli and everything, yeah. and generally upsetting the establishment. Let's put it that way. That's what she used to do,
but in a good natured way.
Yes, sort of. Unfortunately, she, or rather he, Barry Humphries, has been up to no good, unfortunately. He's been saying that evil teachers are making kids transgender. He's, as I said, he's best known for his drag persona, Dame Edna Everidge. And he's also been claiming that being transgender is a fashion. These are really, really unhelpful comments from an ageing entertainer who is actually no longer actively entertaining and maybe a bit out of touch.
Does he know anything about PSHE policy in schools?
you know, I have no idea. You know, it's obviously been a long time since he's been to school. But he made these comments in an interview with The Spectator, and he's lashed out at transgender activists who have criticised him, accusing them of terrible, and I'm going to pronounce this correctly, rat baggery. He also claims that, as I said, being transgender is a fashion, saying, how many different kinds of lavatory can you have? Question mark. And it's pretty evil when it's preached to children by crazy teachers. And he also appeared to defend previous comments that he'd made describing gender surgery as mutilation. Well, you know, if somebody decides they need to have gender affirmation surgery, it's actually a personal choice, isn't it? Nobody's saying that they have to have it done.
Here's my thought about this. I mean, okay, so the publication that he had the interview with, well, not very surprised there. But who on earth thought that up as a story? Did he just phone them up and go, hey, I've got some really hateful views that I just want to spout off about that are completely ill-founded? Well, and they haven't even tried to put any sort of journalistic integrity into that.
Well, it's literally quoting what he's saying.
Literally.
And we're talking The Spectator.
That's
here,
what I so said. The publication. Let's just throw that under the bus. Sort of it is what it is.
Yes, very much on the right there.
But,
so
you know, this is you know,
it's harmful, isn't it?
Personal social health education, what they teach kids in school now, is an acceptance of all identities and the fact that they've got, you know, the freedom to be who they want to be. And, you know, and as I say, I've suffered absolutely no persecution at all in my life for being gay. But I did go to school in the 90s when Section 28 was very much in force, and we just didn't hear about it.
No.
You know, absolutely nothing. So all they're doing is rectifying a huge policy mistake that was introduced in the 80s, was it?
Yes, and endured
for a really long time.
Indeed. I mean, that was to do with sexuality, of course.
This is
gender identity, and you know, which is, you know, kind of a different subject matter, but still being treated in the same way, you know.
And from somebody who was part of the LGBT world.
Well, exactly. He was a genderqueer person, or is a genderqueer person himself, if you think about it. His persona, let's put it that way. So, and it just seems a little bit, I'd like to say mean, but actually it's more than mean, because this is really harmful, especially for young people that read this stuff as well. So, you know,
don't you think that's just carrying on from the protests from the TERFs at London Pride who got into the front?
Well, you do wonder if it's...
And they're
part of the LGBTQ
community.
Yeah, and they don't like being called TERFs either, which is kind of weird, really, because if you are...
Well,
it is
what they are.
It is what you are, and if you don't like being called what you are, then don't be what you are. So there you go. It's calling a spade a spade.
I don't know. I mean, what I've seen a lot on social media over the last couple of weeks, you know, because there are a couple of trans commentators that I follow for other reasons, for gaming and stuff like that. And a couple of them have tweeted that one of the good things that's come out of London Pride is the overwhelming outflowing of support in support of trans people and trans women, because that's who these TERFs are.
Well, we're talking a tiny minority of people who, with very, very sort of loud voices,
shown for who they are, and they've been absolutely shown up for everything.
Well, let's hope somebody puts him in his place, or puts her in her place, and actually comes back, because in this article I'm reading in the Pink News, there's absolutely no comeback whatsoever. Maybe I need to go and have a look at the Spectator article and see what's been going on.
Maybe people are just ignoring it.
Well, hopefully they will ignore it, but unfortunately, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, or she's entitled to her opinion, and that opinion has been published. That doesn't mean there won't be repercussions, but sorry about the funny noise. That's your mic, Steph. There you go.
Yeah,
I thought it was something else there.
It is your mic. Yeah, it is a bit of a dodgy mic. It's a dodgy cable on that.
Okay, I thought it was a motorbike.
No,
I thought that was just Steph blowing raspberries at Ivan in the background whilst he was talking.
Well, I do sometimes. Yeah.
We've had raspberries, ice cream vans.
Part of your banter, anyway. So, coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Western Pride.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
So we will be down there interviewing all the acts.
Mm-hmm. There'll be quite a shout out presence, won't there?
I think there's five of us.
That'll be great. And you'll be out and about throughout the day getting...
Absolutely.
We'll be chatting to
people attending and people performing.
Yeah. So you can recognise the shout-out team. We all wear lovely, lovely shout-out T-shirts when we're out and about. So if you see us, do come up and have a chat.
Discreet tap on the shoulder will go down well.
Yeah.
Right, I'm afraid that's it. We're out of time.
Oh, no, already?
1 hour goes so quick.
Well, so next week, luckily, we'll be talking about how teachers ensure diversity in schools and college. So a very good response.
Absolutely. A news mag, one story taken apart and discussed.
So to catch up on past shows or today's podcast version, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Till next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.